We saw something on Friday. Chris Timm saw it 15 minutes to go in the show in the power hour. I said, let's rush it to press. Chris Timm said, no, let's wait. Let's season it.
Well, it came up sort of organically, and as things sometimes do in this program. We had a story about a town in Massachusetts, I believe, where some horny woodpeckers, or at least one horny woodpecker, is going around pecking windows and cars and car mirrors and that kind of thing. Because basically the woodpecker with his little bird brain sees himself in a mirror, thinks it's a male rival for his female, and pecks at what he thinks is another bird. But he's just cracking windows and mirrors.
Biggie called it the dumbest bird on the planet. Because he keeps on pecking out.
Well, because he gets to a different mirror. He's like, you again.
That's right. That's right.
You mother.
And stay down.
So during one of the breaks, you know, I kind of got curious as to who that voice was. Because I can't remember who it was. I think it's a female who had that famous laugh.
The famous
Woody Woodpecker laugh.
Woody Woodpecker is a woman.
Yeah. But for the first three shorts, I think, of Woody Woodpecker, Mel Blanc did the voice. Yeah. Who, if you know your 20th century cartoons, was the voice of Bugs Bunny, Elmer Fudd, Yosemite Sam.
What's up, Doc?
There's your...
I mean, he was probably the most talented voice actor of the 20th century.
I thought I told Pudding Dad.
The same guy. When you're a kid, you don't even...
You don't realize
You don't
it.
Even know it.
It's all him.
All him.
Do you think if he was doing a conversation... between Daffy Duck and Bugs Bunny, is it him just going back and forth, or does he do all Bugs Bunny's part and they edit it? I think it's just him going back and forth.
I bet he could do it back and forth because I think I've seen him on talk shows.
Yes.
The old, you know, I mean, he died years ago.
Just do one.
But he would get on the on talk show sets and just rip the voices out.
Incredible. It's incredible.
So I did some more digging on Mel Blanc, and apparently he was very wealthy, and in 1961 he was living in California. He had on January 24th, 1961, Mel Blanc was driving alone in Los Angeles when his sports car was involved in a head-on collision on Sunset Boulevard, the area they called Dead Man's Curve the songs.
Yeah, very famous, yeah.
And Blanc was in a coma, completely non-responsive. 2 weeks go by. This is one of our most beloved talents.
Mm-hmm.
Neurologists at the UCLA Medical Center tried a different approach than just trying to address Mel. I guess that's what they did back then when people were in comas. Hey, how are you?
Hey, Mel.
Mel?
Yeah.
You going to come out of your coma today?
Yeah, I think they still say you talk to them. They may be hear you. You know?
Yeah, I'm sure they do tell family members, you know, keep talking.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know if they'll hear you or not.
Right, that's right.
Well, one doctor decided to address the unconscious Mel Blanc as his character. The doctor said, instead of how you doing today, Mel, he said, how are you feeling today, Bugs Bunny?
And did Mel say?
What's up, Doc?
Yes.
Yeah. What?
He said, fine, Doc. How about you?
Unbelievable.
The doctor then said, is Tweety Bird there?
I thought I told Pudding Dad.
And that's what Mel Blanc said from his hospital bed.
Has that a great story or what?
That's insane.
Unbelievable.
He went home like a week or so later, recovered.
Yeah.
And then... this is a great story for our friend Lisa Lanier, the attorney. His accident was one of 26 in 2 years at the very same intersection, Dead Man's Curve. Blanc sued the city and won, and they rebuilt the curve. It's no longer that deadly anymore.
Well, it was called Dead Man's
Curve. Yeah.
They really should have done that before it even happened that way. But good for Mel
Blanc.
Well,
you know, cars were getting faster.
Of course.
You know, who knows?
And I wonder if that doctor had never thought to do that, would he have lingered in that coma and then died? Who knows? That is an incredible story.
Goosebumps.
Now, if I told that to my daughter, she wouldn't believe it. Remember I told her that Christopher Cross story?
Oh, yeah.
And she doesn't believe it.
Because it's too supernatural? Or it's not?
Because... It's too good a story. I just read that people, when they read something on the internet, they only trust it 40% of the time. They don't even believe what they read on the internet anymore.
Yeah.
You know what you think?
That's
not fully.
It's interesting because I've seen, and this is a different type of, and we can get into this later, but I did see that the youngest generation, your daughter's generation, is the most gullible.
Really?
Because all they know is online.
Well,
they don't know how to search anywhere else.
They don't realize that.
All they know is social media.
Well, my daughter, I told her this wonderful story about Christopher Cross. We heard that song, When You Get Caught Between the Moon and New York City. And I did the put up or shut up question years ago about it, that he wrote that while on a plane. It was circling the airport for 15 minutes. and he was between the moon and the skyline of New York. And I told her that beautiful story as related by Christopher Cross. And my daughter said, as she got out of my minivan, that's not true. I don't believe that.
Nice try, Pops.
No, forget it.
I know a liar, and Christopher Cross is one.
And so is Christopher Kelly. Right.